Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. When God chooses to not answer our prayers, we may think He's forgotten us, when in fact, He may have more in store for us than we've ever dreamed. That was the case for David, whose prayer to build a temple was denied. Instead, God would build an eternal kingdom. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. We're in a 10-part series on growing through conflict, a journey through the life of King David. In our look at conflict with unanswered prayer, we've seen God giving David new promises, a new intimacy, and a new project.
In 1 Chronicles 29, we have the very interesting story of how the text tells us that David decided that though he was not permitted to build the temple, he would help Solomon build the temple by preparing all the materials. And it says in that passage that David said, "With all of my heart, Lord, I have gathered silver and I have gathered gold and I have gathered timber to prepare for someone else to do what I couldn't." Now there's an idea. Your dream is broken, smashed. Find someone else whose dream you can help be fulfilled. You want to go to the mission field, but you can't. Send somebody else. Be their support system. Be their prayers and their money. And you help them fulfill their dream. And God will bless you because of your servant role. You desire children. That is the great desire of your heart. You say that I just can't live with this sense of unfulfillment and God has not given you children. Become surrogate parents. Find some other children who need you and fulfill your dream in their lives. And you know what God will do? He will bless you for it. He'll bless you for it. Text says in the Old Testament, if you give yourself to the needs of the hungry, and if you remember the poor, and if you knock yourself out for somebody else, that's a very loose Lutherian translation. He says, if you do all that, God says, then your light shall arise within your own soul, and you will be blessed. God says, David, the answer is no, but you've got some new promises, new intimacy, and a new project. You can help. You can help. What is the bottom line? Well, I think the bottom line is this, that when God says no to us, the reason that He says no is because His dream for us is greater than our dream for ourselves. He's got a better dream. Now, I know that's a tough sell. That's a tough sell. So just grasp it in faith and hang on to it. One day the Apostle Paul was going through a very difficult time. He said he had a scallops, that's the Greek word, a thorn in the flesh. We don't know what it was. Was it malaria? Was it bad eyesight? Was it some people with whom he worked? I don't know what it was. But Paul says three times, he says, I prayed to the Lord and I said, oh God, remove this, remove it, remove it. Talk about a very specific prayer. And God says, no, answer denied. But God is not harsh. It's not as just as if he says, no, out of here. No, no, no. God says, Paul, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is perfected in weakness. Paul says, most gladly will I therefore rather glory in my infirmity. I glory in the very thing I ask God to remove, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. You see, God's dream for Paul was a better dream than the one he had. His dream was, get me out of this. God says, I'm going to leave you in it, but I'll give you the grace to bear it, and my power and my blessing will be upon you in a way that you would not have experienced if I had answered your prayer. My dream is bigger and it is better than yours. One day there was a man sitting in prison. His name was John the Baptist. And there he is in jail, and his half-cousin Jesus is preaching about all these wonderful things and doing all these wonderful miracles, and he's beginning to think, you know, that's really neat. That's really, really neat. Here he can pull all this off. I'm in jail because of righteousness, and he won't lift a finger to get me out of this mess. And he began to doubt whether Jesus was the Messiah or not. Nothing wrong with some doubts. Sometimes said that he who has never doubted has really never really believed. He's just trying to put it together. I mean, it doesn't add up. If he were German, he would have said, es stimmt nicht. It's just not the way it's supposed to be. And so he sends a delegation to Jesus, you remember, and he says, Jesus, are you the one that should come? Or should we look for another? Have I misread the divine intention? And then you remember the story. Jesus sends a delegation back and says, tell John a couple of things. Tell him that the dead are being raised, the blind are seeing, the poor are having the gospel preached unto them. But don't end your little speech there. Add a little footnote and say this: blessed is he who is not offended because of me. Blessed is the person who is not upset with the way in which I run my business. Blessed is the person who goes on believing even when he's not delivered and his prayers are unanswered. John, of course, had no answer to his prayers. He was beheaded, and that was the end of it. You know what? John died before he heard Jesus say these marvelous words. Jesus said to his disciples, I want you to know that there's none born of woman that is as great as John the Baptist. He didn't know that Jesus had that kind of an opinion of him. Here's this person who's going through all this suffering, all this despair, all of the disappointments of life, one after another, continually being knocked down, and there does not seem to be any help from heaven. And they would like to give up, and they don't know but that Jesus might be saying to the Father, of those born of woman, there's no greater. And then name the person. Why? Because Jesus says, I know that your dream isn't there, but I've got a bigger and a better one. Your suffering is precious. And eternally, speaking eternally, there will be such an explosion of wonder over the life that you lived and the glory that will be revealed that you will say in sincerity, it was worth it all. But you don't see that here. You don't see that here. But in the end, you will. In the end, you will. Because my dream is bigger than yours. And when I say no, it's because I'm saying yes to something much more grand. I asked the Lord for strength that I might do great things. He gave me infirmity that I might do better things. I asked for riches that I might be happy. He gave me poverty that I might be wise. I asked for power that I might sway men. He gave me weakness that I might learn God's grace. I asked for companionship that I might be fulfilled. He gave me loneliness that I might be feeling my need of God. I received nothing that I asked for, but really all that I hoped for. All that I hoped for. Because please believe me when I tell you that when God says no, when God says no, it's always because He has something better in mind, something more eternal, something more lasting. There's another man who prayed, and God said no. He was agonizing in the Garden of Gethsemane, laid out before the Lord. And as he prayed and the sweat came to his brow, and as he was in great agony. He prayed and said, "Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. If there is some way to get out of the horror that I am about to partake of, do it. Nevertheless, thy will be done." And you remember, the Father did not deliver him. He went all the way to the cross. And because he went to the cross, and because he bore our sins, and because he was nailed there as the Son of God, and the sins of those who believe were laid upon his shoulders, and he became legally guilty of their iniquity. Because of that, God had something greater for him. Because he humbled himself, God has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. You say, well, that would have been true even if he wouldn't have died. Yes, of course, because he was God, but in a new way it now became true. It became true because he earned that right as the God-man. Because God's dream for him was greater than the dream that he had when he was wrestling with the will of God in Gethsemane. And you know that because he was obedient to accepting a no from God, there is now a prayer that all of us can pray that God will always accept. Isn't that wonderful? You know, there's some things that God will not necessarily give us. He has many promises, but he's not promised to do everything that we ask, as we learned today. But there's one prayer that we can pray that we can have the assurance that when it is prayed, it will be answered. The Bible says, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." He that believes in him has eternal life. Why? Because there was someone who took his dreams and gave them to God and believed that when God said no, it was because there was something better and greater, more grand and more eternal that he had in mind.
My friend, can you see that the life of David and the experiences of David with people and with his God, can you see how all of this speaks to us today? And there are many of you listening who know people who need this series of messages. And perhaps you've missed some of the messages. We are making them available to you in permanent form. Ask for Growing Through Conflict Lessons from the Life of David. For a gift of any amount, they can be yours so that you can listen to them again and again and remember that God has given to us his word, not simply to inform us, but to transform us. And certainly we learn that from a man who failed greatly, but also experienced God's wondrous grace, growing through conflict.
Erwin Lutzer has now concluded Conflict with Unanswered Prayer, the seventh message in a series on Growing Through Conflict, a study in the life of King David. Next time, join us for the famous story of David and Bathsheba, a story of passions in conflict. All 10 messages on Growing Through Conflict can be yours on CD as our thank you for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.